And we should, because, I mean, it is something that if it were left out of control and God didn't stop it, you know, it could be a real problem. There's no doubt about it. But guys, let's face up to the reality that we really, as a nation, need to repent of some stuff. We shouldn't assume that God is just going to heal every time we ask for it when we're not willing to really repent of what we have been doing wrong for quite a while. All the sexual immorality, you think God just winks at that and says, well, it was always my standard before, but for the United States in the year of 2020, I'm just going to forget about it? No, it don't work like that. You see, we really need to just humble ourselves before God and ask Him to forgive us. Are you guys, do you want to? Is that something the church wants to do? I think you do. That's why you came today. It's something that we want to humble ourselves before God, and we want to see our nation change. We're going to talk today in the service about a couple aspects of how the church should respond and how we should go forward in a time like this. And we're going to take our lead from our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Because you see, He saw an emergency and He responded to it. And so we're going to talk about that today. But before we do, let's just humble ourselves with a word of prayer for our nation right now, if we could. And you know, you're going to have personal individuals that are going to come to your mind as well, and that's good. But I'm going to lead us just in kind of a collective prayer for the bigger nation of the United States of America. And so let's just humble ourselves. If you'd like to get down on your knees before the Lord this morning, I think that would be good. If you don't feel comfortable getting down on your knees, or you can't because of physical reasons, then please don't feel like I'm guilting you if you don't. But for those who can, I think it's a good posture for us to show humility, right? And so let's just show some humility to the Lord right now. And I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, in the only way that could be acceptable in your sight, Lord, and that's humility of heart. God, I have no pride, and there's nothing good in me that you should listen to me. There's nothing good in any of us that you should listen to any of us. The only goodness that we can come to you is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And so we come through Jesus to the throne of grace, and we ask for your grace upon this nation right now. And Lord, we know that this virus, it could be quite the problem. And Lord, we know that we've already lost some lives. And so Lord, I'm not going to belittle it. I mean, really, just the common cold could kill us. Just having the flu, or Lord, we just got to face up to the fact that every breath we breathe is a borrowed breath from you. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you on behalf of the United States of America. We ask that we would be a nation that you could bless, that you could truly bless us, that we would get in line with your desires, your heart. Lord, you spell it out in your Bible, and people are being discouraged from reading your Bible in this nation every day. It used to be a book that was always present even in our school systems. In our original public school system, it was the book that was learned from. And Lord, now so many are told that they're not even supposed to bring it to the school anymore. And Lord, I pray that you would change that attitude. And we know that our law still protects the ability to do that, but we're discouraged from doing it. In fact, a lot of people say that we shouldn't even believe it, but your answers are already there in your word for us for today. So, Lord, we're going to look there today. That's why we came to this church, because we believe that your word is truth. We believe, Lord, that you have spelled out what to do in times of crisis, and that's cry out to you. Lord, several states in our United States told people don't even bother going to church because if you go to church, you might spread a disease. But Lord, what we understand is to come to church and to join our hearts together and pray today is what can cure the problem in our nation. And the problem isn't just this one virus. The problem is a sickness called sin. And Lord, we need your help. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the cure for that sickness of sin. And Lord, in the interim, we live in a fallen world. We know someday you're coming back to set everything straight. And Lord, you're going to set up your kingdom here on earth first, and then heaven's going to come down to earth. And Lord, we're going to live forever with you that love you and are longing for your appearing, and those who are yours. But Lord, we know that there's a lot of people who are going to be thrown in the lake of fire, and that's a big problem. Those who don't believe in you are going to spend forever in hell. Not because somehow you have forsaken them, but because they chose sin rather than to follow you. And so, Lord, I pray that today we would make a commitment to you that we are going to be good witnesses for you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that an emergency like this in our nation would just remind us the importance of today, to live today for you. Lord God, we repent before you for the abominable sins that we have in our nation, Lord. For some that we have tolerated for too many years. Lord, we come to you on behalf of all of the unborn that have been slain. We come to you on behalf of marriage which we have distorted. We come to you on behalf of sexuality that we just continue to choose the flesh over what is right, what you have prescribed. And Lord, we come to you on behalf of those people that are being trafficked around our nation as slaves to do things that none of us would want to talk about. And God, we come to you on behalf of a world full of people that are in many places of the world, people try to live on less than a dollar a day and don't even have enough food to eat. And Lord, we have such an abundance here. And we ask that we would be mindful of them in our daily life. And remember to pray for them. And remember, in whatever way we can, Lord, to save so we can give to them. And to find ways to reach out for the gospel's sake. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins. The sins of commission, the sins we have committed, and the sins of omission, the times that we just didn't do what we should have done. And Lord, that we not feel an unnatural sense of guilt over it, but Lord, that we would listen to you when you convict us by your Holy Spirit and that we would do something about it. We would repent. Repent means to turn away from, to turn toward you. And so God, we're turning toward you this morning at Cadet Baptist Church. And you said where two or more are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. And so, Lord, yes, this is a prayer service, and that's what we're going to do, is we're praying to you, and we're asking on behalf of our nation that you would heal our nation of the wrong, that you would heal our nation of all of the division, that you would heal our nation of even this virus that threatens it right now. But, Lord, only as we turn to you. You design and you allow different threats of disaster in our world. You allow it so that people will have the occasion to see the urgency of the moment and turn to a holy God who desires that we all come to you. Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our governor. We pray for our courts. We pray for our lawmakers. And we pray that you would put Christians in every area of government, Lord, so that they can steer us rightly through times like this. And so, God, we just pray for the United States of America that we would be a godly nation. We would be a nation whose God is the Lord of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are the church and we are the chosen ones to take that message everywhere we go. So Lord, we ask you to embolden us in times like these to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you guys for taking that time of prayer. I want you to know that we meet here every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night at this church, and we take some time to pray. We do have a business meeting coming up, and we do those on Wednesdays as well, but we still take part of that time, Bible study and prayer. Some have suggested that we have special prayer meetings for times like this. We do have a special prayer meeting every week. So I invite everybody to come out on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and we will pray together. And that's what God responds to, is the prayers of His people. We do have the Annie Armstrong offering that we've been taking. It's good. All right, guys, we're going to have a time in God's Word now. And first thing I want you to do is we're going to have, you got some notes in your bulletin that will go along with the message for today. But I'm going to add a little something to it this morning. God kind of inspired me to go to a little different place in the Bible to begin with. So I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 41 this morning. Psalm 41. Psalm 41. So go ahead and open your Bibles to there, or whatever, however you look up the Word. If you use your electronic device, that's fine, as long as that's what you're using it for. For other purposes, I would ask that we not be on our electronic devices, but let's look at the Word of God here in Psalm 41. This is my health insurance plan, you might say. It's very important for us to understand where wellness comes from, where protection comes from. It's interesting to see what the world does whenever it panics over sickness or pestilence or gets fearful. I don't know. But we've got an emergency in our house right now. We have 8 people live in our house, and we're almost out of toilet paper. And I wouldn't have thought a week ago that that would have been an emergency, right? But I just haven't been able to quite figure that one out. We kind of joking around at the prayer meeting on Saturday. We also have a prayer meeting here Saturday morning for you might like to come. If Wednesday night don't work for you, you can come to both. But we kind of joked around about putting the toilet paper at the church under lock and key, you know. We got a lockable room to put it in. I would have never dreamed that that would have been the panic, you know, is to make sure that we have enough toilet paper. And I'm still not sure why. So if anybody has an answer for that, they can let me know after the service. Not right now. You can let me know after the service. But anyway, I tell you, I've checked my heart and I've said, God, should I be more concerned? You know? And so it isn't that I don't want to look like I'm unconcerned. But I'll tell you where I, rather than fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. Okay, it doesn't matter how you shake it up, and we're all going to feel a sense of fear from time to time. Okay, so I'm not you know saying like you should never be fearful, but when we are fearful, we need to look at where am I lacking in faith that God wants to build right now. Okay, that's why He allows times like this and things like this. And so I just want to take us to Psalm 41. This is how we build our faith, as we apply the Word of God to the given situation. Verse 1, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So if we have a concern about something that we need to be delivered from, rather than inward focusing and filling up our cart with all the toilet paper so nobody else gets to have any, rather than inward focusing and going inward and isolating ourselves, God says, go outward with your fear. Go outward with your concern. If you're concerned about yourself, then look at the poor and have a concern for them. Okay? Guys, I don't know. How many people died of coronavirus last week? Can somebody tell me? Because the 58 in America. I want you to look at the statistics of how many people died from starvation worldwide last week. It would shock you. And I don't say that to make us feel guilty. What I'm saying is God says consider the poor. And if we'll consider the poor, He'll take care of our needs. He said, you take care of their needs, and I'll take care of your needs. But see, what we do too often in our world is it drives us deeper into selfishness. And God don't want us to go deeper into selfishness. He wants us to go towards selflessness. Okay? Jesus is our example of this in the perfect form. And none of us are perfect, but we should all be shooting toward being more like Jesus every day. Amen? And so as we consider the poor, He's going to deliver us from our time of trouble. In verse 2, He says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. I can tell you guys, until God calls me home, as long as I am in the center of His will, I am immortal till that day. I can do anything God calls me to do. Because He's not going to let me die before He's ready to take me home. Because I belong to Him. Now you can't claim that promise if you're not following God. I think that a person who is unwilling to follow God, they can shorten their life. I do believe that. We see in Proverbs it says, why should a man shorten his days or his life? We shouldn't. If we'll follow God, put ourselves in the center of His will, He will keep us until the perfect time. I can guarantee it. He says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Guys, I'm going to tell you, this isn't just an Old Testament concept. If you go to James, it says, if anybody's sick among you, call for the elders of the church and have them come and pray over you, anointing you with oil, and confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. Guys, I'm just going to say, sin is the problem. It isn't just some pestilence or some virus that just randomly happened. And I've been hearing all this conspiracy theory that China's just so smart that they've done this to infect the world so that they can kill us when they're ready. Guys, here's the thing. No pixie dust is going to take my life till God's ready for me to come home because I belong to Him. And so I don't have to fear. Even if it is a conspiracy, even if it really was designed by the enemy, I can tell you, that's not my enemy. Sin's my enemy. So if I confess my sin to God and keep my eyes on Him, He will deliver me. It's okay. We don't have to buy up all the toilet paper. Does anybody have an extra roll? Okay, I got two hands up. We're good. All right. I'm just telling you guys, here's the deal. The Lord will strengthen you on your sickbed. Personalize it. On the bed of your illness, He will sustain you on your sickbed. What do you need to do? Confess your sin to Him. Be right with Him. Consider the poor. If you're worried about yourself, find a good Christian charity and give through it because it'll get your mind off of you and it'll get it on where His heart is. I know, everybody's saying, well, that sounds like you're trying to earn something. No, don't do it to earn it. Do it to show God you love Him. Because He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me, you'll do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you love me, you will take care of those in need, because as you do it to them, you're doing it to me. You see, that's how we show love to God. That's how we show Him, I'm not scared for me. I just want others to know your love. He says, my enemies will speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? If he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me, against me. They devise my hurt and evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Guys, there's some people who said, y'all, it was stupid for coming to church today. That you could get sick here and die. Well, I'm just going to tell you guys, the church is the only hope for America right now. So you did the right thing, because as we come together and pray, it can bring healing to America. Now, I also encourage you, after you shake everybody's hand, go ahead and wash it before you eat. It's a good idea. It's not a bad thing to do, right? But here's the thing, guys. We don't have to fear all that stuff from the outside. And even though the enemy is going to say, look at you, you know, you're putting your faith in something that's not going to help you, I say, listen to God instead. That's what the psalmist did. And you know what? The psalmist lived. This is David who wrote this. And he lived right up to the exact moment that his father decided it was time for him to go home. And he had time to hand over the kingdom to his son, give him advice, prepare the way, and tell him to make sure he considered God in all of his ways. And then he went. And that's the way it's going to happen for us, guys. I'm going to tell you, if God wants to use coronavirus to take me home, that's okay with me. Because you see, I belong to Him. I'm His. And He gets to decide when that happens and how. Main thing is, I'm going to live wisely for God while I'm here, and I pray that you'll do it with me, and as we just continue to go forward, God's going to figure this thing out. Now, we're going to talk about what's the church's place in all of this. Well, we're just going to ask Jesus to show us how did He handle the impending danger in His own life. I have a Voice of the Martyrs laying around here, and I want to show you something. These are our brothers and sisters in China. That's what this issue is all about. And I can pass it around, or hopefully you guys get one delivered to your home. You can get this magazine delivered to your home for free. Okay? And anytime you start thinking, man, things are bad for me, it's really good to look here and pray for them. That's considering the poor right there. Okay? That's considering the poor. And on this picture on the inside, there's a whole bunch of people standing around outside. And I'm going to take a real quick walk down through here. And everybody just kind of peek at it. These folks are standing outside. And I'm going to tell you why they're standing outside here in just a minute. Okay? They're standing outside. These are Christian folks. These are your brothers and sisters. Okay? And the reason why they're standing outside is because their government will not allow them to have a church building to meet in. In fact, in China, they're tearing down churches like they're going out of style. The communist regime, and I'm just going to tell you, communism is from Satan. Okay? Yeah, it's an attempt to become God. And so the government has to become God for communism to work. And because of communism, and because some of these folks really wanted freedom, the government went ahead and cracked down on them again, and the Christian persecution is worse than ever before. They took away their church building, and they said, if you continue to try to worship, that you're endangering your own life. And they said, you can take our building, but you can't take our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are going to meet, and we are going to praise God together. And we are going to continue to worship, and that's why they're standing outside. And here's what the quote of one of the elderly people from this church called Early Rain Covenant Church, that's the name of their church, this is what he says. How wonderful it would be if, because of this suffering, we might be able to give off the sweet fragrance of the gospel. That is the call of the American church today. We see an emergency at hand. And rather than running from it or isolating ourselves to where we don't have any contact with the general public, we need to be the sweet fragrance of the gospel right now. If you did happen to buy any extra toilet paper, give it to somebody else who doesn't have some during the time of need. If you, not us, she said not us. Okay, we got Kleenexes, so we're good. I'm not trying to get your toilet paper. I'm saying there might be a person in need down the street from you that you can go ahead and share it with. And in the process, along with a roll of toilet paper, you might get to talk to them about Jesus, right? That'd be a cheap opportunity to be able to present the gospel to somebody. How about a meal for an individual who maybe isn't feeling well or they're afraid to get out? Rather than just looking down on them and thinking, man, they need to not fear. Maybe they don't know Christ. And you take a meal over, offer to take a meal to your neighbor. And you might be sitting over there thinking, well, somebody else can do it first. No, run to it. Be the first one to do it. Want to take the first place in that so that you get an opportunity to show them the love of Christ. You can think of some other ways. You know, there's going to be a lot of people home because, like, they canceled Mineral Area College for the rest of the semester now. They're doing online classes only. So there's going to be people home. There's going to be people who won't have a job to go to. There's going to be people with time on their hands, right? And so this would be a wonderful opportunity for us to just continue to reach out in love, okay? Just to continue to reach out in love. They said, order your stuff online. Well, then the delivery man has to take it to your house, right? Let's be the delivery man to take the gospel to our neighbors during this time. Let's just continue to run toward God during this time. We look at Jesus. Now, I just want you to know something, guys. You can kind of open up your notes there, and we're going to get into the message here just a little bit. The cross is the whole reason why he came. I want you to remember that. The cross is the reason why Christ came. Do I get an amen to that? This wasn't like some surprise that hit him at around age 33. Oh, no. No, guys, he knew. Whenever he came to pay for our sins. That's why he came. You see, it's kind of like if you're a Christian and you see someone in danger, and they're not a Christian, if you run to help him, help that person, you know where you're going to go if you die. But if that person isn't saved, where are they going to go whenever they die? So you see, you're risking something you can't keep anyways. You don't get to keep your life to gain something that you could never lose, and that's an individual who might be in heaven someday with you. Same way, with any type of mission work or whatever, but this is why Christ came. You see, he came and he was willing to give his life for us. In fact, in Matthew chapter 26, he talked about this. You know, he has disciples around him, and whenever whenever they came to get Jesus, they did send a mob out, and Judas had betrayed him and all that stuff. And they came to get Jesus. One of his disciples pulled out the sword. Can anybody remember which disciple that was? Peter. Impulsive Peter decided, all right, I'll protect the Lord. You know, he's got this whole, you know, nice effort, but, you know, let's face it. Let's see what Jesus has to say about that. He said, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Here's the deal, guys. He knew what was going to happen. His life wasn't taken from him. If we look at the book of John where they come to get him, it's an amazing scene because they said, where's Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, I am he, I am. If y'all remember, that's who God is, I am. He turns around and he says, I am he. And all the people who had their clubs and stuff just fell down. I want you to think about that. They didn't take him. He went willingly. It's very important that we know that. You see, in John chapter 12, which is where our focus is going to be coming from today, John chapter 12, he really makes this very clear. Okay, he had set his face for Jerusalem. It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, he had set his face for Jerusalem. He knew it was time. He knew that the hour had come. He knew that when he went to Jerusalem, they were there. They were ready. They wanted to kill him. But you see, guys, he was looking past the cross. He wasn't just looking at the cross. He was looking past the cross at what was going to happen on the other side of the cross. Because death isn't really our enemy. Sin is the enemy. And we had a sin problem, and Jesus came to cure it. He is the cure for the sin problem. And you understand, he knew that like the hour had come. Rather than running from the burning building, Jesus ran into the burning building to save us. You see, he knew what was happening, and he went for that purpose. And so we see this scene. He's heading for Jerusalem. It's a little before the Passover. He stops in Bethany where Lazarus had died. I'll just kind of sum up the first part of that. And guys, here's the deal. He had raised Lazarus from the dead to show something. He says, like, I am the God of the resurrection. I'm the one. And you see, I have power over life and death is what he was saying by that. And death isn't the problem, is what he was saying. Sin is the problem. And so he goes back through this region. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And then he enters in the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday is where we get that, and we'll probably talk about it more in the future. They're all celebrating his entry here, and then there's some Greeks that come, and they came up to worship at the feast. We're up to John chapter 12, verse 20. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to the worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour has come. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit or much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should not heal them. Or so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we would not love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Lord, we are called to be your children. We are called to live like your children. We are called to stand for you as your children, to stand with you and to speak of you. Even in a world that may not always accept that, help us to love the praise of God more than the praise of man. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's break this down just a little bit and understand that he knew that the hour had come. And if you see, he knew he was going to die. He said, I got to die so that it can produce much grain. We move on to the next slide. He also knew why he came. He said, my soul is troubled. And we know he was troubled over it. In fact, we see it at the Garden of Gethsemane right before he went to the cross. He sweat like great drops of blood. Have y'all ever sweat under so much anguish that you started sweating out blood? I've never had that kind of pressure on me. There's been times I didn't think I could handle the pressure that I had, and I've still never had that much pressure. I tell you, he knew just how bad it was going to be to some degree. It wasn't like he went into it in ignorance. He had spent a lot of time with his father, and his father had been grooming him for this purpose all along. He was going to be with him, but there was going to be that moment where there was that separation in the Godhead, and I think that's what Jesus dreaded the most. He was going to have to take the sin of the world upon him and go be nailed to that cross so that the sin of the world would be nailed to that cross so that when the Father's wrath was poured out on the sin of the world, he would take it upon himself so that it would not be justified because he was perfect. He could actually justify us. You see, he didn't deserve to die. He gave his life as a ransom for us. He paid for us. And he said, my soul's troubled. What should I say, Father? Save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. And then he just said this one thing. I can tell you, yeah, Jesus might have been thinking about us when he went to the cross, but more than that, he was thinking about his Father. He said, Father, glorify your name. And I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people have spoken, a lot of people have said a lot of things in this world, but it wasn't very often that God ever spoke from heaven in audible words. And he did it at this moment. And he said that it says that then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Because I can tell you, Jesus was looking past the cross. If it wouldn't have been for the cross, we wouldn't have a third day after that, the resurrection. He had to die to be resurrected. He had to die to pay for our sin. He had to be in that ground, in that tomb, to come out on the third day and show the glory of God. And I'm saying God was truly glorified then. Truly glorified then. And you see, guys, here's the deal. When God shows us, we got a choice we got to make. So let's go to the next slide. When God shows us, we must make a choice. You see, there were other people there, and there was the people that stood by heard it, and some of them just said, did you hear that? I think it was thunder. And others said, an angel spoke to him. Guys, I think they all heard the word. But you see, after you hear the word from God who says, Jesus is the way, follow Him, even if it were literal, audible words from heaven, I've had people say, if God would just say it in audible words from heaven, I'd believe it. And I'd say, no, you wouldn't. If you weren't going to believe it in the first place, it wouldn't matter if He spoke from heaven. Because the Bible proves that people who had doubt in their heart, they just kept right on doubting. And they said, well, maybe that was thunder. Maybe that wasn't really words. Well, maybe it was just an angel. No, guys, everybody there that moment knew it was the Father because that's who Jesus was talking to. And you see, we've got a decision to make. We've got a choice that we've got to make. And Jesus answered, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. It was time to make a choice. And I read that longer passage because I wanted you to see some of the people were making their choice. And so when God has revealed Himself to you, you must make a choice if you're going to follow Him or not. You see, we're judged by where we stand on this one event. We are judged. That, in fact, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Why did He say that? You know, we know there's going to be a great white throne judgment if you read Revelation. You know that that actual judgment still hasn't happened yet. But He said that that was the line of judgment. You see, everyone is going to be judged by where they stand on that line and what they do about believing in Him. Is it going to change you? Is it going to be something that we just believe here? Or is it going to go all the way down into here? Is it going to change the direction of your life? Is it going to make you want to please Him more than people? We've got to make a decision. And you see, the judgment line is based on that decision. He said, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. You know, church growth, I'm reading a book right now, it's about church growth. And all these different folks have a different idea on church growth. I'm going to tell you what church growth is. We lift Jesus up. God works in their heart. And if they will agree with God, they're going to be saved and the church is going to grow. That's how the church grows. But you see, we've got to lift Jesus up for that to happen. Amen? We've got to remind everybody that He was on the cross. He went to the cross on purpose for you. You see, this He said, signifying by what death He would die. And I can tell you, the only way you can be saved today is still by looking at Jesus lifted up. Amen? You see, we got to make that choice. And we're judged by where we stand on that event. And His proof demands our belief. Although He had done many signs before them. Okay, so here's some people's excuse. If God would speak to me in audible voice, I would believe. Okay? And then other people will say to me whenever I witness to Him, if God would only prove it through some things that He does, I would believe. All right? Although they had seen, although He had done many signs before them, they did not believe in Him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? How many miracles have you seen in your life? I'm just going to ask you a question. I can tell you there's a lot you have not actually realized that are happening all the time, that you didn't even know you were in danger and God was rescuing you, but how many times have you actually seen the hand of God rescue you? And so don't, you know, please, if you ever have a doubt, just go back to one of those times and just remember. I know God's real because I saw what He did right here, and it goes along with the Word of God, so yes, He's real. Don't you listen to the enemy and his doubts anymore. But you see, when he proves it, I remember Brother Harold. You guys remember Harold? Many of you remember Harold Stiegel. Some of you have been here not long enough to know him. But I just want to tell you, Harold would always say, there was a time where he strayed from God, and he realized that along that time, God did many miraculous signs in his life, and He did many things to help him during that time, even whenever he was in rebellion. And he said, I can tell you, if I wouldn't have come back to God, I think every one of those would have been a judgment against me. Because every one of them was just yet another proof to me how real God is. And if I hadn't really followed Him, then where would I be today? You see, guys, God is proving Himself all the time. And His proof demands our belief, or else, as it says in 39 through 41, therefore, They could not believe because Isaiah said, you see, if we reject God and then He judges us and He puts us into the state to where then we can't believe. You look at Pharaoh in Egypt whenever God was delivering the people Israel from Egypt. It says first, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I can tell you guys, we never want to get to the place that God hardens our heart. We harden our heart against God. Don't just assume, you know, I can pick and choose. I had a family member one time tell me, yeah, I might believe in that Jesus someday, but for now I want to have my fun. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I can tell you, unfortunately, that was about 15 years ago, and I've never seen that person turn and look back. Now, I pray to God that someday they will. But don't ever assume that you can just do it tomorrow, because you may not have tomorrow. You see, he says, Isaiah said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Guys, when you see God's glory, that's the time to respond. Please don't put it off another moment. See, heart belief demands a public confession as well. Guys, you don't get to be an undercover Christian. You don't get to be an undercover Christian, even in a persecuted nation. Did you see all them people standing outside? They were doing that in full view of the government who took their building away from them. And they said, if you continue to meet like this, we'll come put you in jail. Or we might just kill you. So you better stop. And they met anyways. Why did they do that? Because literally, heart belief demands a public confession. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh God, that you would never let us do anything against your will just for the praise of men. God help us in Jesus' name. You see, that heart belief demands a public confession, and if we love him, we must publicly follow him. He said, he who loves his life will lose it in the earlier verses. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves him, him my Father will honor. Guys, where's Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. So if you're following Jesus, do you realize that you're going to follow him all the way to heaven? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Like, there's no doubts. If you're following him now, it's only going to be natural to follow him right on into heaven whenever you draw your last breath. Praise the Lord. But if once he has revealed himself to us, we refuse. Guys, that's known of as that one unforgivable sin. A lot of people ask about the unforgivable sin, you know. Have I maybe committed the unforgivable sin? I don't know. You know, a lot of people are like that. I don't know. Well, I can just tell you, this is what he says about it. Okay? So now the Pharisees were following him around, doubting him all the time, and trying to prove everything he did was wrong. Because they saw the glory of God through him. They saw his miracles, but they didn't want to believe in him because it was going to cause them to lose their place of position where they had authority. And so when the Pharisees heard about this healing that had happened, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Well, I'm going to ask you, was Jesus casting out the demons by the power of Satan? Absolutely not. He was casting out the demons by the power of God, and it was very obvious. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were saying, look, it's the power of the devil. And so later on in this discourse, Jesus just comes out with it in Matthew 12:31. He says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Blasphemy means to speak evil of or to speak evil of one's witness to you. So here's the deal. You can only believe in Jesus if the Holy Spirit confirms it in your heart. And when the Holy Spirit comes to confirm it in your heart, just like the voice from heaven or the proof of what he does, and the Holy Spirit says, yep, that's Jesus, he's the way, follow him. If you refuse that witness and you speak evil of that witness and you die, that will never be forgiven. You are responsible to respond in an affirmative to what the Holy Spirit has said to you, to say yes. If you don't, I can tell you there's no hope for you. There's no other hope for you. Jesus' death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, Him paying the price for you and raising on the third day, is the only thing that can save you. Do not deny Him His rightful place in your life, not even for the praise of men. Don't let anything keep you fearful of following God, because I can tell you, He is the only way. Let me pray for you. Dear God, as You confirm things in people's hearts, by aid of the Holy Spirit, let us not refuse You. Jesus, other people are running away from the fire. They're running away from the burning building. But You ran straight into it to rescue us. Help us as Your people to not avoid the areas where people are in need of Christ. But let us go into those areas and let us rescue others. If we belong to You, nobody can take our life. If we belong to You, nothing can take our life. Only You are able to tell us when our job is done. Help us, Lord, to have no fear